All right, DMV, welcome back. Andre Jones and the smooth. We've already talked about the smooth left-hander, Ted Jeffrey. Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Doing well, Dre, doing well. Happy to be here.
Yeah, because we had to step off of the hardwood and go to the gridiron tonight. And we have one of the best, I say probably because the best coach in the area from St. John's High School, Pat Ward. Welcome to Step to the Mic, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Coach. And I was talking to Ted offline. Dino Campbell wanted to be here, so he wanted us to say hello. How are you? Hope all is well. So we'll pass those blessings along from Dino to you, Coach.
That's my man.
Coach, we're going to bring everybody up to speed. Phenomenal year, really, in terms of Washington, D.C. football, one of the best. 12-0, WCAC championship. You know, I said this offline, but I'll say it to you again. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you.
Give me what this season meant and going through it step by step.
Well, thank you very much for your kind words. I don't think I'm the best coach in the DMV. You know, I mean, Coach McGregor, you know, there's a lot of really great coaches out there. So I kind of feel like I'm, Coach McGregor, you know, if I can affect half the kids you have, I'll count myself lucky and a good coach. But for as far as this season, I would say it was rewarding. And, because of all the stuff, I know everybody went through a lot of stuff with COVID and, you know, everything like that. And I know other teams did, but for me, for our kids, it was just rewarding because they put time in. They were working in the off season. They were working during COVID. They were finding, you know, like we couldn't have things on campus. You know, some of the kids were getting together and going to RFK and working out. Kids were running, lifting on their own. Like, you know, they were really engaged and trying to do their very best, you know. And then, you know, we had the spring and then we finally got to some sense of normalcy. And I would say, you know, I thought we'd have a good team. I didn't think we would go undefeated. But it just, you know, for me, I would say rewarding and then fulfilling in the sense that, you know, we talk a lot about here, you know, we have three core beliefs that we talk about all the time. And one is give me five, which is basically playing hard for 3 to 5 seconds. You know, two is love, which is the most powerful form of motivation. You know, you want to play for your why. And then three is competitive maturity, which is playing the same way all the time. And to me, like that, those things are what this team encompassed. You know, we might have not been the most talented team St. John's has ever had, but we were the best team.
Sure. And Coach, you described a culture. You played at St. John's in the 80s. You've been there, the offensive line coach, for years, decades. Now you're the head coach. You know what it's like to be a cadet. Is that part of the culture? When you explain it to the guys, I've been through this, I know what you're going through, but this is who we are. This is what we represent. And it's easy for them to believe in that, isn't it, Coach?
It is. And it's not just me. You know, my brother Mike is our defensive coordinator and associate head coach. You know, Pete White's an alumni. Our offensive coordinator, Antoine Bailey, is an alumni. George Shipien, who is basically the glue of our program, he's an alumni. You know, we were able to add some great pieces to that as well. Coach Juice, you know, Coach Gallimore. We just have so many really good coaches. You know, Coach Chamo, Phil Savoy, who's a D.C. legend himself, you know.
Archbishop Carroll.
Yes, sir. I just feel truly blessed to be around great people, you know, and get to compete against great people and get to measure yourself, like you said, Coach Dino, you know, Coach McGregor, Coach Stefanelli, you know, Coach Travers. It's like, I mean, we've been, you know, in the last 6 years, or 7 years, we've been all over the country playing. And the thing I try to tell people is that DMV has as good a football as anybody in the whole country, you know? So you asked about the culture. I think my grandfather was class of 37. My two of my cousins were in the 50s. My uncle was 69. I'm 93. My brother is 2005. You know, so we talk about the brotherhood. You know, so I think to your point, the kids do. I can say that I've been through what they've been through, and I understand. I can't always say that. You know, I can only empathize with some things, but I just want them to understand, like, you know, for us, it's, you know, it is, winning is a byproduct of doing a lot of other things correctly. You know, if you're doing those things correctly, like you talked about building the culture, then the winning part will come.
Hey, Coach, you talked about, you know, this Catholic league that we all grew up in. You know, Andre and I are 87 and 88, respectively, out of DeMatha. You're 93 out of St. John's. You know, traditionally, we have two to three teams that are ranked in this conference nationally. Would you say that the WCAC is the best private school league or Catholic school league in the country?
I would say I'd put it up right up there with the Trinity League. I mean, I think the Trinity League has probably a little bigger population base, you know, being in LA, and, you know, the Texas, you know, is wide open, but I think, you know, you take the top teams in the, I would take them against anybody, you know, and people don't get, like, you know, you play in the California playoffs, you play in the Texas playoffs, you're not playing the next best team until like the semifinals or maybe the finals. Like in our league, you know, we had to play, you know, Gonzaga the last game of the year and then turn around and play them in the playoffs, you know. And I know the same thing happened with DeMatha and Good Counsel, and that's really tough because we're all really good coaches, we all have good players, and then, like, you know, do you hold something back, do you not show your hand, do you, you know, I mean, and you know, the other guys know you, they know your best plays, you know, this guy's been coaching against each other for 10, 15 years. So, you know, oh, they love to run outside zone here. Like, you just know, there's, like, you can't get away from it. So it's, I mean, it really makes you a better coach. I would say, yes, like, I would put us up there. I don't know about the best, but I'll take, you know, the WCAC versus anybody any day of the week.
And Coach, to piggyback off what Ted was saying, when you look in the college rank, so first, let me start with Jamar Curtis and Jordan Seaton. Tremendous players for you, had great years. But then you look into the collegiate ranks, you got a player at Michigan, you got players at University of Maryland. The talent pool is enormous. So when they come, not only are they learning football, but they're learning how to prepare for college. And then when they get to college, they play very well. So when you talk about your current players that I just named, and your guys in college, that has to make you feel good when you turn on TV and say, that's a cadet, that's my guy, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I like we said, we talk about, like, long live the brotherhood, you know, honoring the guys who've come before you by how you play and honoring yourself and your parents for all the sacrifices they make for you, you know. So it is really cool to see those kids, you know, out there playing. And that's, for me, that's like one of the most fulfilling things in my job, is getting to see these young men go out and get full scholarships to go to college and change their lives. You know, like we all know the impact of getting a college education. You know, not everyone's going to go to the NFL, you know, and I like tease kids all the time when I'm talking to them. I'm like, you know what the NFL stands for? And they're like, National Football League. And I'm like, well, yeah, but if you play in the league, it means not for long, you know, because it's the average career is 3 years. So making sure they understand that education is the most important thing. And that's something, you know, I told them, you don't see old fat guys like me running around outside playing pickup tackle football, you know, like you can only play it for so long. So that, you know, use the game, don't let the game use you. And that, to me, it's just, I love to see them play the beautiful game, and it can take you so far in life, you know? So it's that part to me is just really cool to see.
Coach, you are, you know, you are tied to a very special brand that's locally grown, and you've got a relationship with Kevin Plank, who is the owner of Under Armour. What is that relationship, Under Armour, meant for St. John's? And what is your relationship with Kevin Plank? What is that relationship like?
I would say Kevin's a mentor, a friend, a teammate. You know, we played together. So he was a senior when I was a freshman at St. John's. And then I looked up to him. I still do. But they won the 89 championship. You know, so like those guys were, as I was coming up through high school, you know, those were the guys I looked up to. Him, Chris Harrison, Johnny Dessler, you know, Dommy Hill. I know I'm going to miss somebody. I'm getting yelled at. But, you know, those guys were guys I wanted to be like, you know, and so to me, it was kind of like, that's what I want to do. That's who I want to be like. So I had to follow their footsteps here at St. John's. And then I was lucky enough to be a teammate of Kevin's at Maryland, you know, and he was a great leader there, you know, and he was a captain, you know, of special teams. And he was a guy who worked his butt off to get every single thing he had. And, you know, we're lucky to have such a great alumnus who cares so much about his school and wants to help people. You know, I think that to me is the essence of who Kevin Plank is like, he's a person that cares about the community, and look what he's doing in Baltimore. You know, like it's an amazing thing. And he truly transforms people's lives and helps people. And like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know of very many people who reach that level of success that still help that many people, you know? And like, to me, like, that's the great thing about a person like Kevin Plank.
And Coach, when you talk about Maryland, and again, you're a Terp, when you see what Coach Loxley has done and built, slowly but surely built his way to what they did this year, was winning the Pinstripe Bowl, what does the future hold for them? And how excited are you for what Maryland could do over the next 2 or 3 years in building what Kevin has helped them with, and now the talent staying at home, and they're growing and growing and growing? Put that into words for us.
I mean, Lox is the man. Like, that's all I could say. Like, he was a running backs coach when I was there. And I think that they're like, I think we all know when you meet somebody, you can know if they're genuine or not, you know? And to me, the thing that comes across with Coach Loxley, everyone's like, oh, he's a great recruiter. Yeah, he's a great recruiter, because he's honest, and and you can tell that there's no BS, you know? And he is one of us. He's from this area, you know? And he's coached at Maryland before, and he's been to the mountaintop and been a national champion. And he knows, he's, you know, learned from Nick Saban, you know, arguably the best coach ever. So it's exciting, you know? And I think it's been hard, you know, because I mean, he and I have talked, and I think that there's no playbook for COVID, you know? Like, I joked around with him. I was like, man, I waited 20 years for my dream job, and then a global pandemic hit. I don't know, like, what do you do, you know? So, like, I think we're all kind of, like, finding our way through it. And for him, I'm just so proud of him, because I know how hard he works, and I know how, you know, it's Maryland. It's not an easy job to win at either, because I mean, the east side is stacked, you know, and you know, like, you have to play the Penn State and Ohio State, you know, and it's just like these blue blood programs that historically are really good, Michigan, right, that are loaded and, you know, starting ahead of where Maryland is, you know. So I think traditionally, looking back all my time that, you know, I've been around Maryland, and, you know, growing up, like, Maryland was kind of a basketball school first, you know, and then it became a football school with Coach Ross. And then it was kind of the up and downs. And then, you know, Coach Friedman brought us back. And I think Coach Loxley is going to be a guy who brings us back to that same point where we were with Coach Friedman, you know, and because he's going to get the players to stay home. And that's, to me, that's the most important thing for, you know, anything you look, any great program you've ever looked at, you know, the U, you know, like, they drew a line around Miami and said, we're going to get the best players from here. So, like, you got to win at home first, regardless of wherever you are. So I just think he's, his honesty, his him being up front, like, that's, to me, he's a genuine person. Like, what you see is what you get. He's not going to BS you. And I think people appreciate that.
Coach, I don't want to run you off here by any stand, any measure, because I know you're, you know, enjoying your job here. But when it's all said and done, you know, say, for instance, you're fortunate enough to retire, as you know, from St. John's. Say you have no other aspirations of being a college coach. What would you want them to say about the program that you leave to your, to the person that follows up, follows you in this position?
Wow, that's a great question. I would want them to say that he led with love and he cared about his players, and that he, at the same time, he held them accountable and made them the very best they could be. And so to me, it's like, you know, kids today are not the same as it was how we were 25 years ago, you know, and I think you have to understand that. And they, and honestly, you know, being a, you know, a white man who coaches a lot of kids of color, you know, like, I can never truly understand what it's like for some of these kids, but I can empathize and have an open door policy and talk to them and get people like yourselves who are great role models to help them navigate through life. So I would say, for me, it's about all the other stuff before, like, trying to make them a better man, try to, like, help them in school, try to, you know, some kids have really tough lives, you know, like, they don't, I mean, you know, there's kids who, if they don't eat at St. John's, they don't eat, you know, and there's kids who, you know, only, their mom's working really hard. She's working two jobs and, you know, trying to make ends meet. And there's all different types of situations. And then there was the kid who you don't really know that you think he has everything and his dad's never home and he doesn't have, he just wants love and he just wants someone to pay him attention. And it is, I know I'm kind of rambling, but I think that for me, I would want him to say that he cared. Like, he cared. And it was more than football. Because I think, you know, it's easy to win games and win, it's not, but, you know, like, accumulating talent and winning championships, like, that's one thing, but building a winning culture and letting the kids know that you really care. I had a mentor of mine who always tell me they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, you know? And so I've always really thought about that. And like, and I know sometimes I can come off as being a softy, you know, that's why I have other coaches who are tougher, you know, but I'm, but I mean, I do, I, kids just like kids today just have a lot of stuff going on. And I think if you just sweep that by the wayside and you're like, yeah, he needs to get tougher. Yeah. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. Like, and especially with the pandemic, I mean, it's brutal, man. There's the suicide rate is up. There's, you know, there's all types of things that these kids knew that they have to deal with that we never had to deal with. You know, we didn't, like, you get bullied on social media, you know, like, it's people are like, oh, it's not a big deal. But yeah, if you're on there and there's 1,000 people or 2,000 people or 10,000 people talking about you, it's a lot for a kid to take in, you know? So, you know, back in the day, you know, we were outside, someone, you know, they used to call me MC Search back in the day. And, you know, they would give me a hard time, you know, and like, yeah. And it was funny, but I was like self-conscious and, you know, but I was, you know, it wasn't like they were putting a picture up of me on the internet and everyone's making fun of me. And, you know, so I just think it's a lot for kids. I think we as adults have to be there for them. We have to help them. And like, that's a big part of our job other than coaching ball.
You know, Coach Dino Campbell, we were setting up this interview with you today. He said you're one of the class acts of the WCAC, one of the best people he's ever met. And now that we've spent time with you tonight, I can echo that because, again, I've enjoyed listening to what you talk about. It's not about wins. It's not about losses. It's about building men and creating good people. And that's refreshing to hear. It really is. And you know, and I'll leave you with this one, Coach, because we've kept you long enough. But when you do hit that field and you do get a 12-0 season and you're bringing all the kids together and you're saying, look what we did together, right? How gratifying is that? And what did you say to your guys after they won a championship that, and what did they say back to you so they, do you know that they were listening for 8 to 12 to 16 weeks that we spent doing the brutal heat, now the cold, and now we're WCAC champions?
Yeah. I said thank you, you know, because it's, if it, like I tell them all the time, I think one of the biggest things, like, you know, as a coach you can do is create player-led teams. You know, when I tell them all the time, like, I'm the coach, but I'm not really in charge of the team. You know what I'm saying? Because I need it to be a player-led team. I mean, you look in the national championship, the Georgia game, number 17, that, you know, he yells at the linebacker for not communicating. The next play, the other linebacker makes a play. He goes over and congratulates them. You know, it's like, and we have to teach them how to be leaders. To your point, we have to teach them how to communicate with one another. You know, like, if, and I think far too often people say, hey, be a leader. You have to be a better leader. But we don't tell them how to be a better leader. We don't show them how to talk to one another. You know, we don't say, you know, we say like, hey, go talk to Billy, and he goes and cusses them out. And you're like, that's not what I meant. So like, we have to give them all the tools to be able to do those things and help them be, you know, better throughout their life, you know, giving them those tools that will last them the whole life. And I think, you know, I just thought when it was probably, I haven't told anybody this, but when I thought we were going to win the whole thing was before the Gonzaga game, the playoff game. I was talking and I was saying, you know, I thought in the past that, you know, we had maybe left some stuff out there, and like, not that the other team didn't beat us, but we helped them, you know? And so our senior middle linebacker, Arturo Maddox, stands up and he said, Coach, can I say something? And I was like, uh-oh, maybe I went to negative town, and I was like going to, you know, like, I was like, I don't know what he's going to say. And he goes, you know what, Coach is right. I remember losing to Good Counsel, you know, when we had two turnovers, and, you know, we were messing around in practice. And he like turned around to the whole team and he's like, if you love me like I love you, you're going to be here on time. You're going to be locked in. You're going to do all those things. And I was just like, okay, I think we have a really good chance here. You know, and to me, like, that's like, that is what I wanted to build all along, is not anoint people and not say you're a captain because you're the best player, or you're the captain because of this or that. I wanted guys to take ownership of the team. And to me, like, that moment, I was like, I don't know about the plays we'll call, the defense we'll call, but I know those kids are going to stick together and we're going to have a really good chance. Because we have a good team. You know, I knew DeMatha was good, and I knew the council was good, and I knew Gonzaga was good. But I knew that no matter what happened, they would stick together and they'd play together. And I thought we'd have a chance, you know, and I was like, all right. So that was really the moment for me beforehand. And I told them, like, I know it sounds hokey, you know, but I told them I loved them. And that word gets thrown around a lot, you know, when you win games and win championships. And what does that really mean? You know, when I tell them all the time, I love you. And when I say that, I mean, you know, there's all types of love, and it's tough love, you know, because if I sit you down and bench you because you're not doing the right thing in school or you have bad grades, it's not because I hate you. It's because I care about you. I want you to be successful. And if I just use you up and kick you out the door and I have, you know, 300 wins, and I couldn't live with myself. So I want to make sure that I'm doing them the service, and they understand that, you know, it's about accountability, and it's about, you know, learning these life lessons that will go your whole life, and things that I learned at St. John's, Coach John Ricca, you know, and coaching under Joe Patterson and coaching under Coach Casamento and with Brian Griffin. And the one thing I wanted to say, I don't want to ramble on, but I think one of the true thing, one of the greatest things I never really saw coming. You talked about Dino, is that, you know, so many years I coached against him and I didn't really get to know him. And like getting to know him and coach with him was really one of the true blessings. And then even, you know, Coach Juice, who's a long time DeMatha coach, like he's coaching with us. I mean, there is amazing guys. And then before that, we had Billy Goodman and Coach Kroll, who were at Gonzaga with, we're at Good Counsel with Coach Malloy. Like really getting to know those guys and like having friendships with them where we could pick up the phone and talk. Like I found, like, you know, we're all like cousins, you know, like, I mean, we're, you know, cause we're all kind of from this WCAC family, from this DMV family. And that was one of the true blessings for me, like, you know, getting to know those guys, especially Coach Dino. He's a funny dude.
I tell you this, Coach, and we'll let you go, but I hope when people listen to this, they really get a good sense of who you are and what you built. Cause I know we have, and we really, it's an honor that you've joined us today, and we won't forget this. And again, we're not rooting for DeMatha. We got you covered. We got you covered.
I appreciate that, and I respect it. I was a kid today. He was working out with one of our receiver coaches, and I was over there, and he's like, you know, congrats and everything, but, you know, go to math. And I was like, I respect that. You know? it's all good, you know?
Yeah, but Coach, you know, like you said, it's one big family. When we see somebody from the DMV, WCAC out doing anything like Caleb, what he did at Oklahoma, that's our guy. So we root for all of our guys. And this has been an honor. And I know I'm speaking for my left hand, the smooth left hand, Ted Jeffries, but we really appreciate you stepping to the mic today, Coach, and thank you. And look, we're going to have you on again next year when you go for number two.
Don't put that type of pressure on me.
But you got the right passion. You got buy-in from your team. You know, you're going to be, you've already got the tools of success, man. We wish you all the best, except for when you play DeMatha. And, you know, continue to raise these kids and lead them to be, you know, continue to be a leader of men.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, Coach. Thanks, man.
Guys, time. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Great night.